Our scripture this afternoon will be from Romans chapter 13. We're going to deviate from our Psalm 119 series this afternoon and look at this particular passage in Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. And we simply look at this text. I've been a powerful, meaningful text in my mind and in my life, and I happened to come across it again this week and began thinking about it again and thought that I would like to preach on it. So now that's where we are. But Romans 13, verses 8 through 10 will be our reading, but verse 8 is going to be our focus. So once again, hear the word of the Lord. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, they are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. We'll end our reading there. There are some passages of Scripture that take a basic principle or principles of the Christian life and frame them so simply and so powerfully in one very memorable, irreducible statement, giving us very succinct words to live by. And there are many such passages in the Bible. But Romans 13, verse 8 is, I think, certainly one of those verses. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now, on the one hand, the apostle makes a statement about how believers ought to owe nothing to anyone in this world, how to deal with their money. Owe no man anything. And on the other hand, the apostle makes a statement about how to deal with people, to love one another, because love fulfills the law. And our duty as Christians in both of these realms is put to us with such powerful simplicity. Now, you may think at first reading, or at first thought, that maybe that's an odd pairing of subjects, to talk about debt on the one hand and to talk about loving one another on the other hand. But really, if you think about it for a while, it's not really an odd pairing of subjects, because these two realms of life greatly occupy us in this world. And as Christians, we need some basic biblical direction to guide us in these two very important and often intertwined realms of life: the management of our money to the glory of God, and the management of our relationships to the glory of God, are certainly two pressing Christian duties, things that face us every day. And the apostle seamlessly combines them and summarizes them in one very memorable statement. So this afternoon, in our brief time together, we're going to consider the two imperatives that are brought together in this one statement, these two imperatives for the Christian life. The first we'll consider is the first one that we see in verse 8, where the apostle says, "Owe no one anything." Now let's begin by appreciating the context of that one little injunction. In the previous verses, the apostle was talking about what we owe to authorities over us, rulers and kings and so on. And he says, "Render therefore to all their due," in verse 7, "taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom we owe honor, honor." In other words, he's saying these are the things that we owe to our leaders, so make sure that you pay them what they're due: taxes, customs, honor, and fear. Now, the next main point that he gets to in verse 8, 9, and 10 is that we have a debt of love to those who are around us. The people that we know, the people that we live with, other believers, we have a debt of love to people. And he wants to talk about what we owe people, the love that we owe people. So he goes from what we owe to rulers to what we owe to everyone, and that is the debt of love. And that one statement he makes right in the middle of those two great subjects is a sort of a transition statement, right, between those two great subjects. There's that one little statement that he wedges in there between talking about our debt to rulers, customs, taxes, honor, and fear, and our debt to others, that is love. And he means to set up this next main point by way of contrast. And so, this one little contrasting statement is not his main point, owe no one anything, but we cannot pass over it too quickly. He says it nonetheless, owe no one anything. Now, the Bible does not forbid having debts or lending or borrowing money. In fact, it makes provisions for how it can be done in a just and proper way. That said, debt is never portrayed as a good thing in the Bible. In Deuteronomy 28, in the blessings and curses of the covenant, listed under the blessings was the fact that if God was blessing Israel, they would not owe debt to anyone. They would lend money, but not borrow it. But then on the curses side of the ledger, the curses of the covenant, one of the curses God lays on a nation if they turn their back on him is that they will borrow from many other nations, but they will not lend. And if you think about it too, Jesus used the metaphor of debt to picture sin in many of his parables. Even in the sermon this morning, there was the picturing of sin as a debt. And that's true in multiple parables. And so debt is never portrayed in any positive sense in the Bible, but it is not forbidden. There are circumstances and times in which debt can be justly incurred, yet quickly repaid. Now, that biblical perspective on debt is a far cry from the debt culture in which we live and the debt-fueled materialism that dominates our world today. Debt has become a way of life, and massive, unpayable debt has become the new normal in our world. And that debt culture starts with a government that is $20 trillion in debt and has no plan to pay it and no intention of repaying it. That is a debt that grows by the billions every day. And that debt will certainly be the undoing of our whole economy at some point. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's a mathematical certainty. But this massive public debt is only a reflection of a cultural, spiritual idolatry that starts in the hearts of men. The desire to have more than you have earned has turned us into a culture that is reckless with debt, so that we live in a world of fake prosperity built on IOUs. Most people that you'll meet in this world, most people that you could meet walking down the street, are tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And this is considered perfectly normal. What is also considered perfectly normal is the constant stress and worry and heartache over our debts, not to mention the feeling of enslavement that comes by owing years of future labor to your creditors. The book of Proverbs says that the borrower is slave to the lender, and this is absolutely true. Nobody ever felt freer, more secure, or more happy by going into more debt. And yet, deeper and deeper the world goes. The world's attitude toward debt has also successfully crept into the church. And I think this is one area in which too many believers thoughtlessly follow the ways of the world. Because what is debt? Debt is an offspring of two other features of our culture. That would be materialism and discontentment. And the offspring, the daughter of those two things, is the debt that we see that dominates our culture. And too many Christian homes are stressed and strained by debt, and too many cannot even give to their church because of the demands of their creditors. The absolute ease with which a person can live beyond their means through debt is a trap that brings so many unintended consequences, and it is something that is suffocating to the soul and distracting from the life of faith. Of course, as we mentioned before, the Bible does not portray all borrowing as being bad. There are some debts that we can justly incur and quickly repay. But I think the real question is this, and this is something to ask yourself today. Put the question to yourself. Will that little injunction of Romans 13:8, that little command that Paul gives us, owe no one anything, will that command ever become a reality in your life? In most people's lives, it won't. The plan that most people have, whether conscious or not conscious, is to be in debt always, their whole life, probably until the day they die. But ask yourself, will you ever be able to say, the thing that Paul says here will actually happen in my life? There will come a point when I can say, I don't owe any man anything except love. That's the only debt I have. Will that ever happen in your life? Very few people are there, but it should be the goal that all Christians have, to come to that blessed point where the only debt you have in this world is love. And it's not hard to see how being free from the shackles of debt will enable us more and more to show tangible love to others. Because love entails generosity, meeting the needs of others, and giving to the Lord's work. And we just sang about that in Psalm 112. There was that man who feared the Lord. And how did you see that in his life? It was generosity. It was serving others. It was contributing to and giving to the Lord's work. All of those things are displayed in his life. These facets of love, these demands of love, are stifled when we are burdened by material debt. And so there's that correlation to see also in Romans 13, verse 8. Because a heavily indebted man is not likely to be a generous man. One who is weighted down by debts in this world is far more likely to be worried about himself and his own bottom line rather than serving and loving others. And so, owing no man anything brings a certain freedom to think about others and to pursue the path of love in different ways. For that reason, it is a worthy and desirable and biblical goal to owe no man anything. Now, getting there starts with simple discipline. And it's to be feared that some of these disciplines are quite lost in our culture. The disciplines of stop going into any more debt, paying off your current debts as quickly as possible, and also living well below your means. Now, these things are easier to do than they sound for a believer because you and I, in Christ, find our contentment in him. And very often, it is that discontentment, that desire of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, those things that John talks about, it's those desires of the world and the discontentment of the world that brings forth that culture, that mindset of debt. But you and I find our contentment in Christ Jesus. More debt and more possessions never brings anyone contentment. But a thankful heart does bring contentment. And that is the very first step to getting out of debt, finding contentment in Jesus Christ. Now, let's quickly turn to the second part of the equation here in verse 8. The apostle says, owe no one anything, but then he goes on to say, except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Owe no one anything except to love one another. What a beautiful statement that is. You see, Paul is anxious to get to and to expound upon the great Christian priority of love, as he often does. Right? He does not spare any words when it comes to that great Christian priority of love. The apostle is known for that, to always expound upon that priority of love. And he wants to get there. You can tell that's where he's headed in this passage. And verse 8, 9, and 10 bear that out. That's his main topic. But he wants to get there by means of a contrast. Owe no man anything except to love one another. And by saying it that way, he makes us think of love as the one debt that we will always owe. He makes us think about love, Christian love, as the one debt we must always be paying in life. Now, by saying this, the apostle gives us a brand new way, not only to think about debt, but a brand new way to think about Christian love. We cannot show love only when we feel like it, only when it's convenient, only when we have the time or the means. Do you pay your other debts like that? Do you pay your mortgage like that? When you have time or when you feel like it, when you have the means, when... No, you pay that thing on time, don't you? And surely we should fear God more than we fear the bank. The debt of love, you see, is the first debt that we should pay, and all the better if it's our only debt. So, to think about love this way, we can and we should look around at the people whom God has put in our lives. Our families, our fellow believers, the person sitting next to you right now in church, the people sitting around you, all of the people that God puts in your path. Look at those people, look at those faces, and realize that you owe them something. You're in debt to them. You owe them love. And the question we ought to be always asking ourselves in all of our relationships is, how can we be paying on this debt? When's the last payment I made? When's the next installment, and when can I make it? When can I pay? How can I show love? Because I owe love. I owe that. And by saying this, Paul reminds us that this is a debt that's never discharged. You can never say, I've done all the love I need to do. I've paid my dues. I've loved as much as I need to love, and it's done. If you are a believer, this is one debt that always remains. There's always more to pay. Now, picturing love this way, as a debt, as an obligation, you may think, well, that kind of takes the heartfelt nature out of it, the whatever you may call it, the spontaneity, the willingness out of it, to simply picture it as a debt, right? This is just something I owe you. When you begin to think of love that way, it might seem to be less genuine. Well, the apostle certainly does not mean to detract from the genuine, heartfelt nature of love here, because the love that we show and owe to others, it's not like writing a check out of a mere sense of duty. This verse is simply meant to highlight how we need to show more love, always more, and never think that our calling to love each other ever reaches its limit. But even as we think of love as a debt, and the apostle clearly wants us to think of it as such, we know that even Christian obligations spring from a true desire and willingness that comes from a renewed heart. You probably have the experience in life where maybe someone has done something kind for you, something good for you, and you try to defer and you say, you don't have to do that, and a person says, no, I owe it to you. What does a person mean by that? It doesn't necessarily mean that person has been keeping a ledger and understands exactly what he owes to you, and he's trying to pay a debt, even though he uses that language. What does he mean by that, I owe it to you? He means, I want to do this willingly because of who you are, or something along those lines. He's expressing a sense of duty, but not a mere sense of duty. Duty that springs from a heartfelt love and appreciation. From genuine love springs that sense of willing, heartfelt obligation. So a sense of duty, even a sense of debt, does not detract from love. Actually, it gives love the proper constancy, and it gives love a high motive. It proves that love is built on better things than the feelings of the moment. Paul tells us that high and good motive to pay the debt of love. He says, it fulfills the law. When you love someone, and when you act loving towards someone, in a thousand positive ways, small and big, from day to day, where that is taking place, where Christian love is at work, something amazing is happening. The law is being fulfilled. Our prayer that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven is being answered. And so even though the debt of love can never be repaid, interestingly, it is always fulfilling something. It is always fulfilling the law. Now, it's also interesting that in other places, Paul talks about the law as being a debt, and those who try to earn their own righteousness as being debtors to keep the whole law. But you see, in Christ Jesus, we are no longer debtors to the law. The law is not a debt on our account, because that's an account we could never fulfill. We could never, ever pay that debt. However, that debt is paid by the righteousness of Christ. But now we have the debt of love. And when we love one another, then in Christ, we are fulfilling the law as God enables us. So this makes the debt of love the one good debt to have. If you've ever listened to financial advisors or financial planners or whoever, they love to talk about good debt and bad debt, don't they? But let me tell you, the kind of debt they're talking about is all bad debt. None of it is good. Not a single penny of that is good debt. There's no such thing as good worldly debt. It doesn't exist. But there is one good debt, only one, and that is the debt of love. Because the debt of the law will destroy your soul. The debt of the world will enslave your life. But the debt of love is the one good debt that glorifies the Lord and sanctifies his people. Think about this debt and the nature of it. It can never be paid in full, but it always fulfills the law. And the more you pay it, the richer you become. That's the one good debt to have. And that's the one debt we should strive to have, and only that debt. Now, in conclusion, let me leave you with two very simple, positive applications of this verse. And one of the great things about a verse so simple as this is that the applications are absolutely simple, straightforward, and powerful. And the first one is this. Make it your goal to pay off your earthly debt. Devise a plan, stick to it, and get rid of it. It may be hard, and it might take a long time. But be patient, be persistent, and above all, be content. Now, this goal might call for a lifestyle change, but perhaps that's exactly what's needed. It will be a change for the better. And that command that the apostle makes, owe no man anything, that is attainable. That is attainable. And it's not a command that we can ignore. And I think it's a good thing for every believer to have at least some kind of plan in life to get there, to get to that point where they can say, I owe no man anything but love. But the second application of this passage is this. Make bigger payments on your debt of love. This is the debt that should occupy our lives. This is the debt that should occupy our minds from day to day. Look at the people around you in your life, your family, your fellow believers, all of those people that God has put in your pathway. And remember this, and tell yourself this from day to day. You owe them something. You owe them a debt of love. So the question becomes, how can you love them more? How can you love them better? Now, this time of year, a lot of people think about New Year's resolutions in another week or so. A lot of people make them, and a lot of people break them. Now, whether it's a new year or not, it's always good for a Christian to examine himself. In fact, that's part of the design of the sacrament, is it not? An occasion that we can examine ourselves and pray the Lord to examine us and to search out our hearts and lead us in the everlasting way. And it's good for us to always set goals for our spiritual growth. That is a good thing. And to be resolved in God's grace to grow in certain ways. That's the fruit of self-examination, to think about spiritual goals that you want to, by God's grace, attain and seek His grace to attain them. Those are good things. And here in this passage, we have two blessed things that we can all strive for in the new year and at all times. Two blessed things to strive for. Two simple divine directives to guide us in two big facets of our lives. Two things that are good for us. Two things that are well-pleasing to God. Owe no man anything except to love one another. Let's pray.